Hello and welcome back to Voyeurism. I have not posted a podcast episode since November last year, and it is currently June. I don't really have a reason for this other than life being chaotic, and I've really been gravitating towards writing when it comes to expressing long-form ideas. So if you don't already subscribe to my Substack, highly recommend because that is my main platform for sharing my long-form ideas. However, I do want to start posting podcast episodes again because I think the message is the medium and it's a very different form of expression to writing. Like, it's much more conversational, it's much more go with the flow. Obviously, you're not editing your words the same way you are with writing. So I want to try and post a podcast episode at least once a month. Before I get into it, little life update. I have booked a one-way flight to Indonesia, which is very exciting. My plan is to be there for at least 2 months and then potentially stay longer, go somewhere else, come back home. I'm not sure. I haven't planned it or booked a flight home or really booked anything at all, but I will have a lot of time to write and to ponder, and hopefully I will be posting more podcast episodes while I'm away and I have the time and the creative space to do so. The reason that I'm going away is that I am currently not on a lease. I moved back in with my parents a couple of months ago because I was dealing with mold poisoning, and that led to a bunch of other health problems. And I have found myself in a life situation where I'm not committed to a lease, I'm not committed to a full-time job. And I thought before doing so, I might as well go traveling again. I feel like nothing grounds me more than solo traveling. And yeah, super excited because I've started writing a lot more formally on my Substack. I want to make this podcast more of a conversational exploration of ideas. I think another reason I haven't posted one in a while is that I feel like this pressure on myself to put forth ideas in a super coherent way, which again comes more naturally to me when I'm writing an essay than when I'm speaking. I feel like I've always been a very conversational speaker. I haven't written scripts for any of my episodes. They've all just been me speaking into the abyss. So I will do that again today. What I want to talk about today is the battle between discipline and hedonism. Hedonism is basically the pursuit of pleasure, it's living in the moment, it's instant gratification, and it's something that I feel like has a relatively negative reputation when it comes to philosophy and ways of existing. I feel like this idea of discipline is very thrust upon us, especially at the moment in current cultural conversations, whether it be meal prepping, your 5 to 9 before your 9 to 5, Pilates. I feel like we're really in this hyper disciplined, like anti-hedonism culture, in a sense. And I think there are a few reasons for this. I think one is that if you actually want to maintain your well-being whilst working a regular 9 to 5 full-time job, you kind of do need to be very disciplined. You do need to meal prep. You do need to wake up at 5 if you want to get 10,000 steps. So if you're working a regular full-time job, you're torn between the choice of being ultra disciplined to maintain your health, or leaning into community and being spontaneous and nourishing your community, but not so much nourishing yourself. And I feel like we're seeing this huge separation of people who are obsessed with wellness and obsessed with discipline, but sort of lending themselves towards isolation and almost narcissism, and people who are like, absolutely fuck it, and lean way more into just living for the weekend and living for community. And long story short, I think if you're going to choose one of these options, choosing community and hedonism is the better choice. But the problem in this dichotomy is not having time. The 40 hours a week that drains you so much that you're sort of constantly choosing between being disciplined, saving for retirement, taking care of your future self, or spending your money to have fun and connect with people, which isn't really a decision that we're supposed to have to make. It's just sort of necessitated by capitalism to an extent. I wrote a little essay called Hedonism and the Will to Live, which I will link in the podcast description. But essentially, it's about why I will always lean towards hedonism on the pendulum between hedonism and discipline over discipline. And the way I see it is, let's say you have two baskets. You have the basket of now, the basket of, you know, instant gratification, and the basket of the future and delayed gratification. And you're given one egg and you get to choose which basket you put that egg in. Ideally, both baskets are full. You're experiencing peace and joy and bliss now and in the future. If I genuinely don't know if I'm going to get another egg, I am absolutely putting that egg in the first basket, right? Once I have five eggs, I might put three in the basket for now and two in the basket for later. But if I don't feel like more eggs are promised to me, putting the one egg that I have in the basket for my future self rather than, you know, putting it in the basket of hedonism feels like I'm abandoning myself. It feels like I am prioritizing my future self over my present self. And I think that self-respect is about crafting a life where your future self also gets to experience joy and peace, but not in the total absence of your present self experiencing it. And obviously there is privilege to what I'm saying, right? Like, not everyone can stop and smell the roses and enjoy the fruits of instant gratification as readily as other people. Some people have no choice but to put all of their eggs in the second basket. But the people who seem the most hell-bent on not experiencing joy in the present moment, to me, seem to be the people who are receiving the most eggs, making the most money, the people with the most freedom to stop and slow down and smell the roses. And the thing is, especially when you're young, how are you supposed to even know what you wish to fill that second basket with if you haven't enjoyed anything in the basket of your present self? Obviously, we all want to save money for our future self. I'm not trying to say that you should spend every single penny, but let's say you go traveling and you realize how much you love it and you want to promise that to your future self, and that motivates you to put some eggs in your future basket. Obviously, I'm using that as an example because that's super relevant for me. If you never did that, right? If you were like, wow, I don't want to spend this money traveling, even though I'm really young and don't know what I want to do with my life, I want to save it because I should be putting my eggs in the basket of my future. I should be disciplined with my money. You don't even find out how important to you traveling is, right? And obviously, yes, this can be really reckless. I'm not trying to say that the second you want to book a flight, you should book a flight. The second you want to eat cake, you should eat cake. But if you don't even know what peace and joy really means to you, how are you supposed to put in the work to craft a life filled with peace and filled with joy? I think I realized at a very young age that genuinely nothing is more important than the will to live, right? If you put all of your eggs in the future basket and you have a house at 30, but genuinely no ability to craft peace and joyful experiences for yourself, you're literally just sitting in that house just as empty as you were before you had the house, right? And it really confuses me when people are so miserable. And again, I'm not talking about people who are living paycheck to paycheck and have no freedom, no ability to stop and smell the roses, right? So miserable and still so hell-bent on blocking their present self from taking a break from discipline, because they have literally been sold this idea that if you're disciplined enough, you will reach the rainbow at the end of the storm. But if you've never even seen a rainbow, how are you supposed to know that that rainbow is going to make you feel any better at all? And something that I used to describe this in the essay that I wrote was the concept of suicide, which is something that I'm about to talk about. Just little trigger warning. When I first discovered the concept of suicide, I was honestly reeling for weeks, right? Like, it was impossible for me to comprehend that anyone would do that because I was young and unencumbered, and I couldn't imagine feeling that down about my existence. And I remember asking my mom, I was like, why would someone do that? And she was like, basically, sometimes people just get so sad that they don't want to live anymore. And I was like, damn, if I felt so sad I didn't want to live anymore, I would just eat ice cream all day and I would travel. And basically, I was saying that I would be insanely hedonistic, which obviously is a very silly way to view it, because when you are really depressed, things don't bring you joy. And that's the whole point of it, right? But that didn't make sense to me when I was younger. I couldn't imagine being in a state where nothing brought you joy. But it still sort of gave me this realization that if life really has the potential to get so bad that you don't want to do life anymore, surely nothing is more important than having and maintaining a will to live. And this is not me at all saying that discipline isn't really important, because I do think it's really important. It's self-respect, right? You deny yourself getting absolutely everything you want in every single moment so that your life gets richer and richer and fuller and fuller. But I guess my point is, how are you supposed to know in what ways you want your life to be rich and full if you deny yourself of everything in the present moment? And this is something that I feel like I have seen when I encounter people who are obsessed with discipline. Some people are just naturally like that. Some people just really don't struggle with the urge to follow every single whim the moment that they get it. Some people are just naturally disciplined. Some people are naturally more chaotic or type B, which is very much me. And while I think that comes with some problems, and I'm always working on my relationship to discipline and how I can use it to make my life better, the way I see it is, if I'm a hamster running in a wheel, I'm running in a wheel to try and get cheese one day, and I see that cheese dangling, and I get to a point where I'm like, I don't want to run anymore. What's the point? I don't know if I want this cheese anymore. I'm just going to stop and I'm going to eat some cheese, because that will motivate me to get back in there and keep running. And I think that hedonism is the fuel to discipline. And what I'm saying is not that profound, but I do feel like within the confines of capitalism, a lot of people feel like they need to have lit that fire and drive before they even have tasted the cheese, before they even know why they're running in the wheel. Like, we start running so young. We genuinely are encouraged to pick what we want to study and do with our life at age 18. And I think that's actually bizarre. Some people genuinely know what they want to do really young in life, and props to them. But some people need to go and live and be reckless and be, as I call it, hedonistic, in order to figure out which joys they actually want to be disciplined in achieving for their future self. Throughout my travels, I've met quite a few people from Denmark. And one thing that I have learned is that in Denmark, it's really normal to take 3 gap years. Like, that's super standard. You take 1 gap year and you go traveling, and then you take another gap year and you work full time, and then maybe you move overseas and live somewhere. And I think the reason for this is because their education is free. The government doesn't want people to do like 4 degrees. They want people to be sure of what they want to study, so they pick correctly the first time and just do 1 degree, so that it's not sort of wasting resources, which makes a lot of sense economically. But I think it's also just this understanding that 18 is so young and the world is so big. So I met so many like 19 or even 21 year old people backpacking from Denmark that hadn't even started studying yet, and they were like, oh, I'm just on my 3rd gap year. I like was in Africa for 6 months. And it is super not normal to take 3 gap years in Australia. I think taking 1 is relatively common, and in some places it's even less common. Like in the US, I don't really feel like anyone takes gap years. I took 1 gap year before university, but honestly, I would have really benefited from 3, from taking a gap year to work, from potentially traveling more or moving somewhere else. And obviously, one of the most cliche things you can say about traveling and backpacking is that you're finding yourself. But when I was 18 and I took my first gap year and went on my first big solo trip, I really was finding myself. Like, I genuinely experienced things that made me go, oh, like, actually what I want from life is genuinely so different to what I thought I wanted from life, like literally 6 months ago. And that's just the journey of self-actualization. But when you're thrown from high school straight into university, you are sort of stunted in the experiences that you have. Like, sure, you're going to meet new people and have new experiences, but at the end of the day, you're going from intensive education to intensive education in another type of space. And for some people that works. Some people know exactly what they want to do. But for a lot of people, it's really overwhelming to try to know where to put all of your eggs when you haven't even tasted anything yet, when you haven't even tasted life. Aside from me discovering the will to live when I was like 7 years old and encountered the concept of suicide and started having an existential spiral, it was also super reinforced for me when I got chronically ill when I was like 16 or 17 years old, because honestly, in high school, I was studying pretty hard. I was pretty disciplined. I was considering studying medicine and I was really, really tied to academic validation. And when I got really sick, at first, I was like, genuinely, I don't know how long I'm going to feel like this for. I don't know if this is going to ruin the rest of my life. Like, I have no idea. It turned my life upside down, basically. And that's when I decided to take a gap year, which honestly was quite uncharacteristic of how focused I was to my education at the time. And I started working and I was like, no, I just want to go traveling. I just want to go traveling. It's because I recognize, not to sound morbid, but my mortality. I was unsure how long I would feel like this for. I was unsure if this would impact the length of my life. And this is not very profound, but a lot of us really do take for granted the fact that much as life is long, it is also short. And before you start collecting resources, hoarding resources, and putting resources in your future basket, you should be sampling resources and figuring out which resources you want the most of. What's important to you? Is it freedom? Is it connection? Is it money? Is it luxury? Do you want to travel a lot? Do you want a big house? Do you want a farm? Do you want lots and lots of space? Do you want to have children? Like, how are you supposed to figure out which resources to collect if you're not engaging with any of them in the name of being disciplined? I'm sure you've probably heard of the fig tree analogy from Sylvia Plath, this idea that you have this massive fig tree. Each fig represents a different life path, and we get so overwhelmed trying to pick what we want from our life that the figs go rotten. I haven't actually read the book, so I might be absolutely butchering that, but I'm going to read the main quote from the fig part of the book. I saw my life branching out before me like the green fig tree in the story. From the tip of every branch, like a fat purple fig, a wonderful future beckoned and winked. One fig was a husband and a happy home and children, and another fig was a famous poet, and another fig was a brilliant professor, and another fig was E.G., the amazing editor, and another fig was Europe and Africa and South America, and another fig was Constantine and Socrates and Attila and a pack of other lovers with queer names and offbeat professions. And another fig was an Olympic lady crew champion, and beyond and above these figs were many more figs I couldn't quite make out. I saw myself sitting in the crotch of this fig tree, starving to death, just because I couldn't make up my mind which of the figs I would choose. I wanted each and every one of them, but choosing one meant losing all the rest, and as I sat there, unable to decide, the figs began to wrinkle and go black, and one by one, they plopped to the ground at my feet. I really need to read The Bell Jar because I've genuinely read this passage from it so many times and made so many opinions about it, but I haven't actually read the book. But I guess what I'm trying to say is you should eat as many figs as possible. I don't know if I really agree with what most people say when it comes to this idea of choice paralysis, because I think the best way to combat this is to make as many choices as possible. I think about this idea of people from Denmark going on 3 gap years. You're doing it all. You know, you're doing the traveling and then you're trying a job and then you're trying living somewhere else. Like, you're literally biting into as many figs as possible before you've even made this supposedly ultimate decision of what you're going to do with your life, before you've even chosen what you're going to study. And we're encouraged to make this ultimate decision so young. And that's a huge reason why a lot of people in their mid to late 20s or early 30s even are like, oh, but what do I actually want with my life? Because we haven't been encouraged to try enough figs, to taste enough different lives until, I don't want to say it's too late, because I don't believe that it's ever too late, but until we really wish that we had, until we wish we had spent more time trying. I guess I'm just saying that the way I see it, trying to figure out your career, which people so desperately do so young in life, before you've figured out what your will to live is, right? Like, the concept of what is the purpose of life is a personal thing. Like, everyone perceives that so differently. It's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that people are so hell-bent on figuring out what they want to do with their life before they even know how they want their days to feel. And I don't believe in the idea of regret, but if there's something that I mourn not doing it the Danish way and taking more gap years, because I, when I decided what I wanted to study at uni, didn't think about how I wanted my days to feel. Like, I was really informed by the experiences that I had and by the gap year that I did take, but I wasn't thinking about how I wanted my days to feel. And now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, like, with all the wisdom that I have now and all the figs that I've tasted now, I potentially would have studied something different. And again, it's not too late. You can study at any point in your life. You can move to new countries and you can try new jobs. I don't really think that, you know, anything is ever stopping you from trying new figs and trying it all, but it should be more encouraged to try more things younger, because I just think it makes more sense. This is a little quote from my Substack essay. "The pursuit of pleasure is not a vain pursuit. I am making my will to live an ever-narrowing focal point, attuning myself to its frequency. The way the needle on a compass aligns itself with the Earth's magnetic field, I am calibrating mine to align with my will to live. People see the will to live as universal and do not calibrate their compass. It makes sense. The blueprint we are given is clear and concise. It is much easier to run with it than to set it down and clumsily make your own. But if the default blueprint is making you miserable, why would you not run amok?" Hedonism as a philosophical concept is this idea that pleasure is the highest good, that we as humans should be pursuing pleasure in all moments. And the problem with this is that it means that pain is the highest bad, that we should avoid pain. But moving through pain is often the road to experiencing many good things. For example, having children requires a lot of sacrifice and is very painful. To love someone is to risk loss. Often it means to lose someone. If you are always pursuing pleasure, in a sense, you're pursuing what's easy, and an easy life is not a good life. A convenient life is not a good life. I 100% agree with this, and I think that discipline needs to go hand in hand with the pursuit of pleasure and with hedonism. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make is sometimes I feel like people cling on to discipline before they even know why they're being disciplined, before they even know what pleasure they are trying to promise their future self by moving through pain. What is the point of moving through pain if you don't even know where you want that pain to land you? I hear so many people and see so many people talking about and writing about how they regret partying in their 20s, or they wasted their 20s not being disciplined. And I understand the idea that, you know, you shouldn't drink every weekend, then your 20s just become this blur where you didn't quote unquote like amount to anything. But I think that your youth is about calibrating your compass, sort of as I was saying in my essay. And that's about trying figs, trying things out, figuring out what the resources are that you value the most, so that when it comes to collecting resources in your second basket, when it comes to being disciplined, to holding down a job, to being careful with your money, you know why you're being careful with your money. You're not holding on to some random promise of future pleasure and future security. You know what you want your days to look like. You know what freedom means to you. You know what kind of love you're hoping to achieve in your relationships. You can apply this to everything. I think that money and career is the easiest example, but even when you think about love and relationships, right? Like, sure, we should be careful about who we give our energy to, but if you close your heart until you find that perfect person to open your heart for, how are you supposed to even know what you want that open-hearted relationship to feel like? And I'm not trying to say that you should date people that you don't like or kiss people that you're not attracted to, and that we should just be doing everything for the plot. But certainty should absolutely not be a factor of living life when you're young, when you're in your 20s. You shouldn't be 100% certain before you go on a second date. You should embrace uncertainty. You should embrace the messy, awkward, clumsy experience of calibration. And I think a lot of people try to skip the calibration step, right? I see so many people, especially like really, really young people in Gen Z, like when they talk about relationships and friendships, really over-pathologizing the human condition, obsessing over concepts like attachment styles. And I've experienced this even going on dates with people my age and older, where before we've even entered into a connection, they're sort of laying down the ground rules and being disciplined almost in how they want the connection to take place. And I'm just kind of like, can't we just calibrate for a second? Can't this just be messy and awkward? Can't we just give in to the moment? Can't we just like chuck an egg in the basket of right now before we like figure out what's going to be in the basket of tomorrow, of next week, of our next date? Like, I don't know. I think if the choice is to live too much in the future or too much in the present, I will always choose to live too much in the present. And I know that that's a flaw of mine. People tell me that I'm too go with the flow, that I'm too unbothered. And that can look like not putting in effort for other people. That can look like not respecting my future self. And I understand that perspective. But whilst I'm still calibrating, you know, my compass, whilst I'm still swinging on the pendulum and trying to make it land in the middle, I would rather spend more time in the land of hedonism than in the land of discipline. Something that I've noticed when my friends are spiraling about their lives, and most of my friends are around my age, is that they're sort of battling this hedonism versus discipline. And obviously, the older you get, I do feel like to an extent, the more you have to think about discipline. Let's say you're 29 and you want children, you have to think about how you're going to make that work financially, right? But let's say you're a little bit younger, or not even necessarily younger, but deliberating something less serious, right? Like maybe it's not children, maybe it's whether or not you want to focus on your career or go traveling. Especially while you're young, if you have no idea whether to choose hedonism or discipline, if you feel lost, if you feel out of touch with your will to live, like your compass needs calibration, I don't think you're ever going to regret the hedonism quite as much as you will regret the discipline. When I was traveling, I met a lot of people in their 30s who'd spent their whole 20s grinding in a career, and they were like, oh, fuck it, that's not what I want. And they went traveling. And I don't think that that's bad at all. I'm not trying to say that everyone should spend their 20s traveling. That's just a really easy example for me to use because it's really relevant to me, right? But that was way more common for me than meeting people who had spent their whole 20s fucking around and finding out and regretting that. And that's just my observation. When I went on my most recent, like really long trip in 2023, I had a lot of money before I went. Like I had saved quite a lot of money and I spent more than I needed to, basically. I probably could have put some of it away. I probably could have had more foresight for my future self, been more disciplined. Like I went traveling, came home, went traveling again, and I spent nearly all of my money. And I am somewhat remorseful, is the word, not regretful, remorseful. I'm like, wow, if I had that money again, I probably would do something a little bit differently. But I don't regret what I did because, again, I was torn between discipline and hedonism. I was lost. I was younger than I am now. I was confused. I was really out of sync with myself. I was really, you know, my compass was not calibrated. And I threw all my eggs into the basket of now, and it taught me a lot, quite honestly, and I don't regret it. I don't regret it. Sometimes when I talk to people, they're like, wow, that was a really crazy choice. And I'm like, I think it was a bit of a crazy choice, and maybe it wasn't the greatest choice, but of the two sins, too much discipline or too much hedonism, I'm glad that that's the mistake that I made. Something that I just find myself constantly wishing I could do when I see one of my friends, like, weighing their figs, being like, do I put it in this basket or this basket, is I just wish I could shake them and be like, just eat a fucking fig. Just eat a fucking fig. Like I have had some people talk to me, you know, deliberating whether they should really, really focus on their career or whether or not they should travel, and they're 26 and they've never even been in love. And I don't say that to shame, but I'm just like, I don't know if it's the pandemic. I don't know if it's the fact that we've been sort of raised in the isolating environment of social media where you're exposed to way too many alternate realities and figs, I guess, than you should be. You see, you know, infinite scrolling. You see one person doing this, one person doing this. Like you're exposed to more possibilities than just people that you know and careers that you know. Like everything is possible. We're even more inundated with possibilities than we were in a sort of pre-social media adolescence. I just want to shake people and be like, you're 26 years old and you can't remember the last time you were in love. You can't remember the last time you felt alive. Like you have your whole life to count your figs. You have your whole life to weigh them up and put them all in that basket. And like, again, like I said, I know this is a privileged take, but it is not the people who are struggling to obtain a job that are in this predicament. It is often the people that have triple the money and assets that I have. More money, more problems. People always say that. It is the people with more money, the people with more privilege even, that are so paralyzed as to what to do with their agency. And I'm like, if you don't know what to do with your agency, go calibrate that compass, eat a fig, do something crazy. In my opinion, and this is just an opinion, you are so much more likely to regret being too disciplined than you are giving in a little bit too much to instant gratification. I just quickly Googled the definition of gratification because obviously we're talking about the battle between instant gratification and delayed gratification. And it says the definition of gratification is pleasure, especially when gained from the satisfaction of a desire. Satisfaction. Gratification is satisfaction. And I guess the way I see it is instant gratification is better than no gratification. And if you get to this point of self-knowledge and calibration where you understand how to delay your gratification, you understand what gratifies you, delay it, promise it to your future self. Like, I'm only 25 and it's honestly just now that I feel like I understand myself well enough to know how to delay my gratification. I'm like, honestly, I am finally becoming a master of what gratifies me to the point where I go like, oh, like, this is what I want to save my money for. This is the kind of community that I want to live in. This is the way that I want my days to feel. This is the shape that I want my career to take. And it is honestly opposite to what I would have said like 3 years ago. And again, I'm not trying to say that I have lived my early 20s perfectly, but I'm so glad I spent it mostly chasing instant gratification and eating figs, because if I had pursued my initial visualization of what discipline and delayed gratification would get me, I think it would have gone so wrong. Like I sort of said in my essay, if I followed the default blueprint of, you know, how to delay gratification and have a good life, I think once I finally reached the gratification that I was delaying, I don't think I would have been gratified. I don't think I would have been satisfied. Whereas now I am far more certain that when I delay my gratification, I will actually be gratified when it comes into fruition. Anyway, I think I have rambled enough. Thank you for listening. I really wish you could have seen how crazy I looked filming this. I'm actually recording it on my phone because I want to figure out a portable recording setup. And I'm like, you know what? It's not that serious. I can record it on my phone. So I just recorded this whole thing lying down in my bed, staring at the ceiling into the abyss. Let me know if there's anything you want me to talk about. I find saying goodbye so awkward, like ending a podcast, ending a TikTok, ending a conversation, but even just like saying goodbye to a friend, even if it's one of my best friends, I'm like, for what reason is this so awkward? Like, I know I'm gonna see you again. You know I'm gonna see you again. Like, genuinely saying goodbye is so strange to me. With that being said, I will talk to you soon. Hopefully it won't be 6 months this time.